If you would, to John chapter 15 tonight. John chapter 15. It is good to be here. And I'm tell you, really thankful that we got to go on that trip to Belize, and hope you'll continue to pray for Brother Crook and his family and the Cotton Tree Baptist Church and others that they're trying to minister to and reach down there. But I'll just say there's no place like home. It's good to be home. And I'm glad to be here tonight. John chapter 15. Tonight, I just kind of want to share my heart with you. I think that it's good for us from time to time. We've kind of been through a series of messages on Wednesday nights that tied into our Sunday morning, and trying to get our footing in the new year. I know we're already a couple of weeks into the new year, but for me it feels like it just started, and probably will feel that way for a while. But I think it's vital for us to make sure that we keep the main things the main things. Don't you think that's important? Now the question comes, what's the main thing? Everybody's got an opinion about what the main thing is, and I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is the main thing. That everything that we do, it's about Him. He is all and in all. And John chapter 15 is a passage that's on my heart often. These are scriptures that I worked on memorizing this past year, some of these verses, and just something that I want to make sure I keep my heart focused on as we go into 2025. So anyway, if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we'll read verses 1 through 8 to get our text tonight. Brother Mike, would you mind leading us in a word of prayer before we read? Amen. John 15, 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Amen. Please be seated. I know Brother Nelson mentioned some of these verses last week, and it's no surprise that they were already on my heart as well. And so I just figure that's God working those things out. But I just want to walk through some of these verses with you this evening. Now, what's going on here is Jesus has gone through the Last Supper with his disciples. Judas has gone out to betray him, and he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, or communion, with those disciples there, and he had washed their feet, and all of those things had taken place, and now they've gone out. They left the upper room, and they're making their way to the garden. We know what's coming. Like, you've read the rest of the story. You know that he's going to pray with great agony there in the garden. You know how he's going to leave some of the disciples behind. He's going to take Peter and James and John a little further with him. Then he's going to go pray on his own. But so this is the end. This is the last things that Jesus would teach his disciples before he went to the cross. And in chapter 14, you guys might remember, he says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I'm going to go prepare a place. And if I go prepare a place, then I'm going to come and get you so that where I am, there ye may be also. You guys remember that? If you guys could just like nod your heads occasionally and we'll all pretend like we're together. Okay. And so then he taught them about that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then at the end of chapter 14, he really starts to talk to them about the Comforter. And who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. And by the way, just as a side note, sometimes you're going to read Holy Ghost, sometimes you'll read Holy Spirit. It's the exact same, no different. Just happened to be where what school the translators were in when they translated it. One school liked Ghost and the other one liked Spirit. So don't let that mess you up. So the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus liked to call him the Comforter, because that was going to be one of his primary roles. When Jesus ascended on Pentecost, he was going to send down the Holy Spirit who would comfort them, who would empower them, who would strengthen them, whose presence would be with them. And by the way, his presence is with you. If you're in Christ, he's with you forever. And so comforting you, empowering you to do what Christ has left you to do. So he's really been teaching about the Holy Spirit. And then he says, arise and let us go hence. So they get up and they're moving on. And apparently, while they're walking, Jesus liked to teach them while they walked. And so they're walking that night from the upper room to the garden. And while they're walking, Jesus begins to teach them these truths. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, these Jewish believers, these disciples, would probably have thought about the Old Testament, where Israel is known as the vine. And that's their mind. Like, that's God's design. He chose us as a people. He called Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he's made us his vine. But here Jesus says, I am the true vine. And so what he's saying is, you're looking to Israel, you're looking to your heritage, you're looking to who you are in Abraham, and I'm telling you, it's not who you are in Abraham, it's who you are in me. Jesus is saying, it's not about all that, it's about me. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Can I just tell you, first of all, tonight, that we ought to seek to know him. Amen. You ought to seek to know him. He invites you to know him. See, I don't think this invitation to know Jesus was just for them then. I think it's for you now. He wants you to know him. He invites you to know him. He wants you to know him. He's enabled you to know him. You, listen to me, you can know Jesus in your life today. Amen. Every person in this room, anybody watching online, you can know Jesus. He invites you to, he wants you to, he's enabled you to know him. Who is he? He says, I want you to know who I am. I am the true vine. And he says, my Father is the husbandman. Can I just remind you, you cannot know Jesus without knowing the Father. And you can't know the Father without knowing the Son. There's people who seem to try to separate, and you can't do it. Jesus said in John 8:19, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And all through John 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, Jesus is teaching those Jews. Some of them wouldn't be given to Jesus because they didn't believe the Father. If they had genuine faith in God the Father, then they already knew him. And because they knew the Father, then the Father made sure they knew the Son. But if they didn't know the Father, if they didn't have genuine faith, then they couldn't know God the Father, and they certainly couldn't know the Son. And here tonight, brothers and sisters, you can know him, and he invites you to know him. I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. That's who he is. So it's important, first of all, that you know him. And by the way, this isn't just a checklist, you know, like, let's see, God, Jesus is the Son. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's Emmanuel. He's the Prince of Peace. And you just kind of learn a list of names. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing him. Knowing him personally, knowing him relationally, knowing him truly, not just knowing about him. So know him. And then number two, it's really a good idea to know who you are. Know who you are. When your kids were growing up, did any of them get a pretty good bump on the head? I remember Abigail seemed to be prone to hitting her head. I remember one time in particular, she loved to swing. She's always been our little daredevil, and she was pretty small. I was pushing her on the swing set, And she said, "Higher, Daddy, higher." And like any good father, I mean, I really pushed. Well, the bad thing is the swing kept going and she didn't. And she fell out of that swing and landed on the back of her head. I know, I still feel bad about it. She's fine. Mostly. She's mostly fine. But I remember that night, it scared me to death. I mean, it really rung her bell. And I remember for hours after that, I you know, we didn't want her to go to sleep. It was kind of evening. And so you'd be like, "Abigail," or you didn't sell her name, you gave it away. You would ask her those really stupid questions like, "How old are you? What's your name? What's my name?" And, you know, when a child is sleepy and they've had a head bump, they get really annoyed by those questions. Amen. Like, "What's wrong with you, Dad? You don't know who I am anymore?" Like, it was like I was the one with a problem. I think it's good to know who you are. Amen. Good to know who you are. Know him, but know who you are. He says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches." Who is he? Well, he's the true vine. Who are you? Well, sometimes it's good for us to understand who we are by knowing who we're not. You are not the vine. You're not the vine. That job's taken. And there's only one who could do that job. There's only one who could be the vine. That's Jesus. He's the true vine. You are not the vine dresser. Our King James Bible says husbandman. You can call it the vine dresser. You can call it the gardener, whatever label you want to stick there, it's fine. Just know this, that's not who you are. You're not the husbandman. You're not the vine dresser. You're not the gardener, okay? So you're not the vine. You're not the vine dresser. You're not the trellis. If you go to a vineyard, you're going to find that there is a structure that the vine grows on. You guys ever seen that before? It's not much of a structure. There's some uprights and usually some type of line or cable that ties the uprights together. We call that a trellis, and the trellis is what the vine grows on. That's not what you are either. You're not the trellis. You're not the vine. You're not the vine dresser. You are a branch. You're a branch. That's who you are. And he says, every branch that's in him that bears not fruit, the Father takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, or he cleanses it, he prunes it, so that it can bring forth more fruit. So here's what I want to tell you. You are a branch, that's who you are, and you are in need of cleansing. You're in need of cleansing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter if you got saved 100 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 5 minutes ago. You are in need of cleansing. You're in need of pruning. Jesus said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." These are disciples who had been with Jesus for a long time. These are just disciples who had seen a lot and learned a lot, and by the way, had been changed a lot, but they still had a lot of changing to do. They had grown a lot, but they still had a lot of growing to do. Their faith had been built by Jesus himself, but their faith still had a lot of growing to do. And I'm just trying to tell you, all of us need cleansing. That's who I am. I'm a branch that needs to be pruned. I'm a branch that needs to be cleansed. Now, we want to make sure that we're branches that bear fruit. He says, if you're not bearing fruit, he takes you away. Those who are not fruitful, fruitless branches are taken away. Fruitful branches are purged or cleansed or pruned. And those who abide in Christ, he says, he said, they bring forth much fruit. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. I don't know about you, but I really want to be fruitful for the Lord Jesus and his kingdom. You know, he gave a lot of parables about that, didn't he? I think about the parable of the sower. The sower went forth, and what did he do? I love stuff like that. Like the fisherman, he went out and he fished. The sower went out and he sowed, right? I love these kind of stories. They help me. The sower went out and sowed, and some seed fell on the wayside, and some fell on the stony ground, and some fell in the thorns, but some fell in good ground, and it brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And I don't know what happens in your heart when you read that, but for me, when I read that, I think, Lord, help me to be the one who brings forth fruit. I don't want the word to get snatched away by the devil, and I don't want to get bogged down by the cares of this world and the love of the things of this world, and I don't want to be hard-hearted. I want good ground to be in my heart and the word of God to grow and to bring forth much fruit for his glory. Don't you want that? I want to be fruitful for him. And so I read that, and that's the desire of my heart, and I read this, and I think, would to God I could bear much fruit for him. And here's the catch. It's not by your effort. You don't look at this and go, man, Jesus is saying if I'll just try harder, if I'll work harder, if I'll do better. No, he says abide in him. And when you abide in him, then he will make you fruitful. Do you guys see it? I don't know what it's going to take. I love it, though, because every once in a while, I don't know if you, a few of you have stood up here and taught before. And I don't know if you noticed it when you're here, but every once in a while you can see light bulbs go off of people. Sometimes it stays pretty dark, but every once in a while there's little flashes and you just see people get it. And I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed how you can teach the same truth over and over and over, and it's like people just don't get it. And then one day God's like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and flip that light switch. And you get it, right? One of these days, if you haven't got it yet, one of these days, the Spirit of God's going to come down and he's going to what? Boop. He's going to flip the light switch for you. And you're going to understand that your fruit bearing depends entirely on God, not you. One of these days, the light's going to come on and you go, you know what? I just need to stay in Jesus. And if I stay in Jesus, he's going to take care of the rest. You got to get there, though. Because otherwise, we just have a system of religion. We have religiosity, we have legalism, we have something else. But what God wants is for us to abide in Jesus, to know him, abide in Christ. He said, abide in me, verse 4, and I in you. Do you guys pay attention to what Brother Ben read earlier from Revelation 19? Were you paying attention to that? Yeah, that same babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, that same Jesus is going to come back in all of his glory and majesty and power. Amen. That name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all of the brilliance of his glory, can you even begin to imagine what it's going to be like? I mean, the awe of the splendor of his glory, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. Man, I can't wait for that day. Can't wait for that day. That same Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. He lives in you. Why? Because you're so good? No. Because you got baptized? No. Because you're a good Baptist, missionary Baptist? No. Because you put your faith in Jesus. And because of that, from that moment throughout eternity, he lives in you. And he says, abide in me. Abide in me. Stay in me. Dwell in me. And I in you. So you guys know what abide means? You guys know what abide means? What's it mean?
To reside in.
Yeah. I know I told you before, Melissa and I, we come from the big city of Vianne. When you ask somebody where they live in Vianne, you don't ask them where they live. You ask them where they stay at. Where you stay at. I don't know why. I mean, it's as country as any town in Oklahoma, but the people there, they got something else. Where you stay at. Well, most of us stay somewhere. We live somewhere. We abide somewhere. We reside somewhere. We put it on forms. Where is your place of residence? It's where you live. And what Jesus is inviting you to do is to live in him. Abide in him, stay in him, reside in him, dwell in him. Your life is in Christ. And just like a branch is connected to the vine and it lives, it thrives, it flourishes, it's nourished from the vine, it cannot bear fruit apart from the vine. It's the way it works. We got some cool pictures. I don't know if you can see it up there. We had it before, the grape up there. That's how grapevines work, right? The vine, the main vine doesn't bear fruit. You guys understand that? The fruit doesn't grow off of the vine. Branches grow off of the vine, and the fruit grows on the branches. Now, I don't know why God did it that way. He did. And I don't know why he uses that as an illustration for us today, but he does. And that's the picture. Jesus decided that he didn't want the fruit to come straight from him. He wants the fruit to come through you. Now, I don't think that makes sense. And if I was doing it, I wouldn't have chose us to do it that way, but that's what he did. And it's not for us to decide how God does things. It's for us to decide to get in line with what God's designs are. So I'm going to get in line. And I want to abide in him. So know him. Know who you are. Abide in Christ because he wants to abide in you. Fruitless branches are taken away. This is one of the most awful things you'll read in the Bible. Verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I mean, no disrespect to you or any of the teachers I've had in the past, but I've had men try to explain this away and tell me that this is not talking about lost people. And I would just respectfully say, open your eyes. This is about people who are not in Christ. And people who are not in Christ are going to be burned. It's not a pleasant truth. It's not a truth that any of us like to acknowledge. We don't like to think about it, but this is the reality of the Word of God. If you have Jesus, you have life. Amen. And if you don't have Jesus, you do not have life. Amen. If you're in Christ, you will bear fruit for his glory. Hold on, did you get that? If you abide in Christ, he says you will bring forth fruit. Know what it said? But if you do not abide in him, you will wither. You'll be gathered up one day, and you will burn. This is the reality that everyone who is not in Christ faces. And friends, it ought to break our hearts. And it ought to motivate us to live for him, to abide in him, so that that fruit can be born in our life. Do you know what part of that fruit is? Brother Nelson talked to you some about the fruit of the Spirit, but it's not just that. Friends, it's us bringing others to Christ. Abiding in Christ is going, God's going to use you to bring others to Christ. Abide in Christ. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Abide in Christ, make sure his words abide in you and live a life of prayer. I want you to notice that parallel. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. I think the Lord's trying to teach us something. Do you know how Jesus lives in you today? Well, it's by faith, right? But it's beyond just by faith. It's also by getting his word in your heart. When you put his word in you, when his word abides in you, he abides in you through his word. So if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, I got to be filled with the word of God. If I'm going to get the word of God in me, that means I've got to read it. I've got to study it. I've got to meditate on it. I've got to hear it preached. I've got to fill my heart and mind with the word of God. What's today? Today the 15th? January 15th. 2025. Hey, it's not too early for me to ask. You don't have to answer out loud. I'd prefer you didn't answer out loud, but how's your Bible reading this year? Guys, if you're not in the Word of God, if his Word's not in you, how are you going to abide in him? How's your Bible reading? You say, well, so far, so good. That's great. That's great. Keep it up. If you mess up tomorrow, that's okay. Get up the next day and do better. Just stay with it.
And you say, well, I was thinking about starting a New Year's resolution and reading my Bible, but it's the 15th and I missed my chance. No, you didn't miss your chance. Today's a great day to start, is it not? You could start by reading John 15, 1 through 8. Right? Listen, now's the time to get in the Word and let the Word of God get into you. Some guys like to say that. Get in the Word till it gets in you. I think that's good. Keep reading, keep meditating, keep studying, and make sure his word is in you. And notice this, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We pray. We're in the Word, and it's in us, and we pray. We ought to be men and women and boys and girls of prayer. Aren't you thankful that God allows us to pray?
Amen, sir.
Have you guys seen God answer prayer?
Amen, sir.
Have you?
I
think about the things that God's done just in the past year, and it's pretty awesome. You guys know, right? You know that there are people that have walked in the doors of this church in the last 3 days that were supposed to die, but God saved them. And the doctors can't figure out anything. I'm like, well, that's no surprise. There are things that are beyond doctors' abilities. But we know a God, right? Pray. And then what do we want to do? We want to live life to glorify God the Father. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. I want to be a real follower of Jesus. I want to be a real disciple. And I do that by bearing much fruit. I can't bear the fruit on my own. My job is just to abide. It's pretty awesome, if you think about it. All that branch has to do is stay in the vine. If it stays in the vine, then the vine and the vine dresser will take care of the rest. Isn't that right? Like, it's not like the branch is just out there thinking every day, make fruit, make fruit, make fruit. Like, it doesn't, it's just there. It just stays connected to the vine, and when it does, everything else just results. It just is. Right? Now, the problem is when the branch gets disconnected from the vine, that's where trouble comes. So what do? Well, I stay connected. I stay connected to Jesus. Stay abiding in him. I think it's a pretty amazing thing that Jesus wants me to know him. I think it's a pretty amazing thing that I can know him. I think it's a pretty amazing thing that God would be glorified by anything that I do. In my mind, I figure God's pretty well ashamed of me in every way. But he's not. You guys get that? Because in Christ, you are new. And he loves you. And he wants you to know him. He wants you to make him known. We're going to stand together, if you would, please. And we're going to end with a song tonight. I would just ask you to consider the words of Jesus tonight. I think the invitation's for you. I don't think it was just for those disciples almost 2,000 years ago walking from the upper room to the garden. When Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, I don't think that invitation was to them exclusively. I think it's for you. So if you're abiding in him, keep it up. Keep praying. Keep walking with Jesus. Keep living in him. But if you're not, then I plead with you to get back to Jesus. Start tonight. Just abide with him. Walk with him day by day. If he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.